You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, ever faithful Jennifer.
Hi. Wow. And not with us is the unfaithful Rosa.
Oh, yeah. What is Rosa doing? She's busy with something or another. Does she have a fella now?
I don't know. She was being sort of secretive. I emailed her and asked her what was keeping her so busy, and was like very evasive and I'm busy.
Wow, okay, well.
So I don't know if it was evasive, as in she was really busy and didn't have time to properly answer, or if it was like, I'm too busy to spend 2 hours on Sunday with you losers, or if she's secretly seeing someone and doesn't want to let on.
All right, yeah. It's
We'll just have to imagine the worst.
It's hard, because you got to pack a lot of living into Got to pack a lot of living into your weekends here.
Yeah. Man. Well, and I think Rosa's pretty busy with church and stuff on Sundays, too.
Yes, okay. All right. Let's see. It's Pepero Day today.
Yeah.
We're actually recording this on November 11, 11-11. We'll get into that in the main topic. So you keeners out there who are, like, trying to figure out, maybe they're doing the show around Pepero Day. Are they going to mention Pepero Day?
So excited, yes. I'm sure people are just really literally waiting on the edge of their seats wondering.
We'll get to that, yeah. But speaking about excitement, I got a couple more of those scratch and win lottery tickets.
Yay!
Now, you've actually won a substantial amount of cash with these things.
With scratch tickets, I think biggest win was in the 20s or something.
$20 or?
Yeah, $24.
I thought you won like 5,000 bucks or something.
I won 5,000 won.
Oh, well, I'm not going to buy those anymore. I'm like, geez, if it's that easy.
Wait. The subtle yet important difference of the
Wait, we got to play that. We got to play the theme music, lottery theme music.
Okay.
Did you listen to the show with the lottery theme music?
I never listen to the show if I'm on it. Sorry.
All right.
It's that time
to win, win, win.
Even though the chances, they're slim.
Slim at best.
We're gambling.
We're playing the lottery.
No, we're gambling.
The lottery.
At least we're not sinning.
We're not sinning.
Woo! Don't spend your hard-earned welfare checks anymore on the lottery. We're laying out the cash this time. We're taking care of you. All you have to do is be the first caller when we win the jackpot, and we'll give you some.
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 All right.
Pretty good, eh?
It's pretty good, yeah.
All right. So these are different this time. This time it's real major cash money. Because before it was like we could win like $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah, a million won. It's pretty lame for a lottery.
This is like what is this? This is like 10 acts.
Well, it's Speed 2 2000.
Okay.
Or Speed 2 2000. Oh. I'm not really.
Let me just take a little picture of
this before. In Korean, it's Speed To 2000.
Oh, actually scratch it and then I'll take a picture. But
I'll show the one that I haven't scratched at all. All
right. Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay.
What is the prize? What's the grand prize? There's four of them.
An ok.
Yeah,
which is 100 million won.
100 million won, which translates 100 million, take off three zeros, $100,000.
Yeah.
That's not worth my time.
All right. Oh. And the the prize that I may win on this one is Chonmanwon. Oh right, sorry. Yeah, we.
Chonmanwon,
which is 10,000 in the the ever logical system of Korean counting, okay. Which is by 10,000s.
All right. That's actually with the American dollar just falling out of the sky. This is even more substantial money for you. Not for me. I'm a filthy Canadian.
But it doesn't really matter because we didn't win. I'm not real good with the suspense there, am I? Right.
There's many, many little scratchy things.
Yeah. Okay, so the
each ticker has like about four or five.
Oh, we
chances.
Got a frowny face on the orc. Now we're on the Pegmon, which is $1,000,000.
So that's $1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000,000. Yeah, always drop three zeros for the rough
Another
dollar amount.
Frowny face.
Right. And what can we win here?
And the next one is Tonmanon again, which is like $10,000. Is that right? Am I counting right? There's a crap load of zeros on here. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 zeros. If you drop off three. Oh, $1,000,000.
Million
oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Shibok. The one on the outside lied.
Oh, okay.
So a Shibok. So it is actually a substantial amount of money. And we got 6 plus 4, and I have no idea what that means. Like, it doesn't tell you if that's, like, there's nothing to match it all against, right. Or...
What's that little last scratchy thing?
Is it's the one more chance, and it's a frowny face.
Oh, okay, that's not, like,
but
do,
it was
do
for...
not scratch if you win.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we didn't win anyway, so but
yeah.
it's important to...
Well, you can always go check it to see what the 6 plus 4 crap
that's
is.
That's true. All right.
Okay, now we're on to number two.
All right, we got,
would
we
you
bought,
like to take
we,
a photo
no,
first?
No, no, no. Okay. No, that's okay. We bought two tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, actually, well, yeah, let me take a photo just so we got like a kind of a before and after. Yeah, each ticket was like 2,000 won. Well, you could,
but since there's... Oh, just show it all
can,
together?
Yeah, you can show me both.
Right. Yeah. So, and you get like five chances on one ticket. So it's not like American tickets where you have your one little scratch.
Oh, that's true, too. So it's like you're... So although each is 2,000 won, $2, you can play many, many, many times per ticket.
Okay, so the prize was for...
Doesn't matter, we lost, right?
Yeah, well, it was for Shibok, so 10 billion won, 1 billion won, sorry, 1 billion won.
1 billion won. What is that? Is that a million?
$1,000,000.
A million cash money. Well, that's all right, a million cash money.
Yeah. All right, and 2,000 people are supposed to win this lot,
okay.
Which is also $1,000,000. But I can see our little frowny face.
Whatever that frowny... The frowny face can't be good, right?
Right.
All right, okay.
Well, because it's got two... All of them have two matching symbols and then a frowny face. So I'm guessing you have to get the three matching symbols on that one. Mm. Okay, so here is another another billion won.
All right.
And another frowny face.
No.
If we could just collect all the frowny faces together, surely we'd have something. Okay, this is 100 people are supposed to win Tonmanon, which is 1,000, 10,000, and that just stretches the limits of my math skills.
Tonmanon?
Oh, no, it's 100 million won.
Is there another frowny face?
We got
face?
A 5 and a 6, which, again, it's not explained. There's a 5 plus 6. It all does not explain it at all.
We're down to the booby prize now.
Yeah. And this one is for 10 million won, and we got another frowny face. Oh.
Are you sure you're reading that ticket, right? All those scratchy, we didn't even win, like, a 5, a plus, a 6.
Yeah.
Oh, yuck. Okay, all right, that doesn't tell me anything. 11. And then we got a 10.
Yeah, there's nothing to match it against, though.
Hmm.
What is it supposed to add up to?
I don't know. I'll hang on to this and
just
ask somebody who actually knows.
Just go take it back to the dealer.
Yeah, he'll give me an honest
opinion. I'm not sure.
He'll give me his honest opinion. Oh, man.
We played the lottery and we lost. We'll win someday, no matter what the cost.
You lost again, you bum. That money was supposed to go to my mother's cancer operation.
Pipe down, woman. Know thy place.
The lottery, it's the lottery. Oh, we'll win someday.
Some way.
God, I hope we win.
It's our snack of the week. Yes, I was talking about last week. It's that hardtack. Have you seen this now in grocery stores? Does this look familiar? It's Home Plus hardtack, so you know it's quality.
Yeah, I could. I could see it if I walked down that aisle.
This whole bag, I think the whole bag is like over 1,000 calories. sat and ate this whole thing.
Wow. And it's like the size of a bag of chips.
250 grams.
Yeah. Like the supermarket size bag of chips, not like the family size bag of chips. You seem to be having some trouble with that.
I'm not good at opening bags.
How can just a pack of barley be 1,000 calories? If you ate a bowl of barley that big, I don't think it'd be 1,000 calories.
I know.
There's a reason why cookies aren't made from barley. And
exactly.
I think we've just, like, found it.
If you like, I think as you said a couple weeks ago, if you want 1,000 calories, it better be coming from ice cream and not, you know.
Yeah, it's not gonna be coming from tofu and barley. That's for sure.
Barley hardtack. I mean,
it lives up to its name.
Yeah, it's just like it's like a dog biscuit, really.
It really, really is. It looks kind of like a small dog biscuit.
Yeah.
It just needs the bone shape.
But this doesn't look like sort of sea ration, army chow, something you'd find in a ration kit.
The food that we ate, some of the entrees looked really disgusting, but none of the stuff that was supposed to be the good stuff looked this bad.
All right. Were you from the MRE days?
Yes, I was.
All right.
No, I was not in the Army during sea rations.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But I think this hardtack is just another one of those things that kind of comes into the Korean diet from American, you know, rations.
These are kind of misleading because they look like they should taste like animal crackers.
Yeah. They're a little sweet.
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, I am eating a blueberry muffin on the side, so it's interfering with my taste buds.
Yeah. But I was on the subway one day, and I mean, I've always seen the stuff you're putting it down and making
it
a face.
It tastes like a saltine without the salt.
Yeah. Or a Ritz cracker without the Ritz.
Without the butter and the...
Oh, Graham cracker, actually. Yeah.
Right, a Graham cracker without the Graham.
Yeah. But I was on the subway, and there's this guy across from me, and he was eating that. And he just wasn't eating it. It was like he was eating it as if this was the manna from heaven. And now this guy looked like – he was a kind of a big guy, like and had about an 80 IQ. Yeah, like if you're sort of like walking down the street at night, and he was coming at you with a swing blade, you know, you would be like, oh, geez, you know. You'd give him your potted meats and your fried potatoes, you know, and you'd get away from him. That kind of, you know, like an extra Y chromosome type guy. And he was just munching this down like it was just the most delicious thing. And then he gets to the let me try and fish for it.
Oh, was there a prize in there?
No, not a prize, but you know the I can't dig.
Do they have one of those silicone packs in
there? Yeah, sort of those desiccated little silicone packs, you know, where it kind of keeps it dry?
Yeah.
And he ate that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, like I looked at him in shock when he opens that up and starts munching it. Now, I mean, it may not
be. So he actually opened the bag. Like, it was an actual cognitive.
Yeah,
act.
He opened it up and he like it was just some bonus food for him and he ate that.
Okay.
And you know like you always buy things and it says, you know, do not eat. You know, it's like airplane glue, you know, not for internal consumption.
Yeah.
Like just really bizarre warning labels that you're like, who
needs to be told that?
Exactly.
Who needs to be told that this silver and blue thing that's separately wrapped and looks nothing like everything else? Who needs to be told not to eat that?
Well, this is the guy. This is directed right to those people. Yeah.
Do not use hair dryer in the shower.
But it's true. Main topic. Yes. So it is Peppero Day.
Happy Peppero Day.
Yeah. So I guess our main topic is sort of strange holidays, and also holidays we're used to, but kind of they have interesting takes on our holidays, our Western holidays. So I guess Peppero Day is...
Peppero Day, yes.
Yeah, 11-11.
Yes, as I was telling you before we started recording, my first November in Korea, I was so impressed that all of my students knew November 11th was a holiday.
Right.
Until they told me what the holiday was. And then I was most unimpressed.
Yeah, because a lot, especially like Canadians and people from the, you know, the Commonwealth, they're very used. You have Memorial Day in America.
Well, today's Veterans Day.
Yeah, what you call Veterans Day, which
Day we have in May. Yeah. I think it's May.
We call it Remembrance Day in Canada.
Yeah.
And You're basically supposed to, in Canada, you kind of grovel at the feet of a war veteran.
Yes, and America too.
You buy a red poppy.
Okay, yeah, they do that in Australia too. We don't do that in America. Yeah. But they have parades and stuff. Like, it's a big day.
Yeah, yeah. It's not actually a holiday, a stat day.
Canada. Ours is.
Yeah, not in Canada. Well, in America, what do you call it? Veterans Day. Veterans Day. If you're one of those, if you're a government employee, bank person.
Well, banks get everything off. Yeah. They get like their birthdays off, whatever.
You get the day off, but But Koreans do have their own Memorial Day in the.
Well, they have like 8,000 days. Like, this is the day we lost a fight.
Yeah, this is the day we won a fight. This is the day. Yeah. I know they do have about four. I've counted about four Independence Days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pepero Day, one of those manufactured holidays. It's not a stat day. You don't get the day off.
Oh, no. It's I think it was a Japanese candy company, the Pepero.
Yeah, right.
Company Pepero. That was like, oh, 1111 right. Because Peperos are sticks.
Yeah.
If you're not in Korea, if you haven't been to Korea, it's basically a plain, like the center of a Twix, the cookie and a Twix, that kind of stick. Just a little stick, and it's dipped in chocolate.
Asian files would sort of know it as like Pocky sticks. Pocky sticks is probably the more the West, what you know, you might be used to the Chinese or Japanese equivalent. But here, of course, they call it Pepero.
Yeah, and they're
Konglish
huge.
For pepperoni.
Oh,
well, did you know that?
No.
Okay,
because I never would have gotten that connection ever.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be pepperoni, right? Yeah.
If someone had said, "I'll give you 10 million won if you can tell me where the name Pepero comes from."
Oh, you would never put that together?
I would never have put it together. No.
Yeah. So I guess one of the things you got to sort of when you come here, especially if you're quite used to like, you know, Veterans Day or Remembrance Day, it's not that the Koreans are just sort of like, hey, we know about that Veterans Day, but so let's have this weird little commercial holiday.
Yeah, let's have a candy holiday instead.
They just don't know about it because Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, it stems from World War II. The 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour was when they signed the armistice.
World War One, not World War II.
Stems from World War One, right? So World War One is definitely completely off Asia's radar.
Yeah.
With the exception of maybe, Australia.
World War II is off of my students' radar until I point out to them that that's what got the Japanese out of the country. And then they're like, oh, right, yeah, that's what it was.
Right. So it's just a coincidence, right? And, and bear in mind, too, that, you know, Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, it's not a day created to make you feel smug. I remember this day, and Asia does it. If you're feeling indignant and self-righteous and smug on this day, then maybe you should reappraise.
Maybe you should reappraise the fact that it was called World War and did not involve Asia.
Yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. So a little bit poorly named. And the other thing, too, there's a certain, I think among Westerners, a certain Grinch-like attitude. Because when you look at the face of your children, this is one of the few days in their lives where they're actually excited. Like, you see smiles on their faces. And I mean, they go bug nutty because they're running around, they're giving each other pepero, they're amassing huge amounts of pepero. And they don't get a lot of junk food usually. I mean,
they really don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but the junk food they get is like meal junk food, like pizza or hamburgers or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't get a lot of junk snack stuff.
Exactly. So it's their Halloween too. I mean, think about kids on Halloween, right?
Yeah.
What little, you know, greedy little bastards Western kids are on Halloween, you know, running around making noise, getting candy, you know, how dare the old lady give me an apple, chuck it back at her house. You know, that kind of stuff. It's just pure greed and pure joy for a little child.
Yeah, but it's really nice that some of the kids who come to Hagwon, and they don't really socialize with each other out of school,
Like,
some of them will come with boxes of pepero for each student in the class.
Yeah.
You know, and it's matching boxes. It's obviously not, like, re-gifting the crappy ones that they got, you know.
So although it's a manufactured holiday, and although you can sneer at it while you're like, Christmas, let's buy Christmas presents, you know, whatever. I guess Christmas has some religious undertone to it.
you know, something or other.
Something,
yeah. Yeah,
anyway,
you know.
Right.
So, some kid or something.
So even, I mean, even our devotional days have major, major commercialisms attached to it. That So while you might sneer at it, you know, just recognize what it is. It's just your kids are having a good time. And did you get any Pepro?
And I did.
And
I got a nice one.
You get something out of it too. Yeah, your kids will get
with chocolate sticks dipped in dark chocolate.
Ooh,
quite a nice one. Oh. Yeah, and I got one with the. It's called like nude Pepero, not as it sounds. It's actually the stick is a hollow wafer that's filled with soft chocolate.
Okay.
So those are quite yummy as well.
Yeah. I usually get screwed out of anything from my kids.
Because they're used to you giving them all the
snacks. That's true, too. What you think, like, because I give them so much through the year that, you know, on Papado Day, they should just be filling my desk. But
payback.
Yeah.
No. But kids don't think that way.
Yeah, but no. So even somebody like me who gives and gives and gives and barely gets anything, I can still find joy in the day. But this year, you know, that girl Heather, the one I promoted to super special friend,
who
helps with the Linda girl who can't read. It was Friday. Friday was like the Pepero Day observed because Pepero Day actually falls on Sunday. So Friday was kind of their last, you know, public school day to kind of share their Pepero. So anyway, so I saw Heather in the hall, and she had, like, little boxes of Pepero. And she's like, oh, teacher, I don't think she expected me in on Friday. Why should I be working 5 days a week? Anyway, so she sort of disappears, and I go back to my desk, and she comes back. She's got a huge-ass box for me. Like, none of the other teachers got a big, huge-ass box.
Now, was this a box of large Peperos?
Yes,
or a
large size dipped in chocolate.
Those are weird.
Yeah, Heitei, made by the Heitei people.
Okay.
Heitei.
Those actually, I could see a resemblance to pepperoni. Because
that's true, yeah.
They're like the same size.
Yeah, they are pepperoni sized. Yeah. So that kind of made me feel good. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was nice.
You know, in 4 years of teaching, finally one student too. But a few days ago, she comes up to my desk and she's, you know, so she wants her cookies. So I give her cookies. And then she wants her super special friend bonus.
Okay.
All right, no problem. Give her super special friend bonus. And then she's like, oh, you know, Linda, can I get some cookies for Linda? What a nice girl. Thinking about, okay, yeah, sure, here's some cookies for Linda. Fine. So, you know, about an hour later, I'm in class. Linda's not there. You know, I look at the attendance. Linda's not even been in class today. So I'm like, Heather, you got cookies for Linda? Oh, no, I didn't mean Linda. And she points to the new girl. I meant this girl. Lena. And I look at the girl, I'm like, your name better be Lena. No, it's not. Do you have an English name? No, I don't. Your English name is now Lena.
That is too funny. But you have to give her points for being so, you know, quick on her feet.
Yeah, and this is like a, you know, 9-year-old girl with, you know, minimal English skills. Yeah. Okay, yeah. She's going to take advantage of some man when she's 25, you know. I don't know. Someone should, like, put a scarlet letter on her now or something. Put a bell around her neck. Warn the guys that this chick is going to, not in a bad way, but, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there was another girl I had once who was like, oh, this girl is just manipulative little creature. Like, you can just see when she's 21, she's going to be, like, just manipulating every guy she comes in contact with, you know? Yeah, but I don't know. Heather would be more like the velvet mailed glove kind of, you know? That more that kind of manipulative versus the, you know, opa!
Yes,
opa!
More flies with honey.
No. In the summertime, there are three holidays. And I wrote this down. I can't remember it by memory. But there are three. There's like the beginning of summer, the hottest day during summer, and like the end of summer.
Yeah, like all the days you're supposed to eat dog.
Yeah.
And those, yeah.
But they don't actually fall on the. It doesn't fall on the beginning of summer. It doesn't really fall necessarily the hottest day of summer, not right. at the end of summer.
Well, it's some like pre-calculated. This day should be the hottest day
based
every
on the lunar
year.
Calendar. Even. Yeah. So it's whacked, right? So so the first one is called Chobok, and then so that's the first day of summer, Chobok, like Chobap.
Let me see it.
No, I've got it written here. Chobok. You know, I'm just saying, like Chobok, like okay. Chobap, like sushi, Korean word for sushi, Chobap. Oh. So Cho, and then Bok, like
like happiness.
Luck or something like that. Yeah. Bok, happiness.
Well, I think it's pretty interchangeable.
Okay.
If you're happy, you're lucky. If you're lucky, you're happy.
Hengbok, isn't that happiness?
Heng. Yes.
But heng also means direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the direction of luck, I guess that would make you happy. All right. So then the hottest day is Jungbok. And then the end of summer is Malbok. So like horse luck. Mal. And or talking luck or something like that. Yeah. And right. So there was the dog eating thing, but then a bit more tamer version of that's the Samgyetang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken. Which Samgyetang is really I enjoy it. In the wintertime.
Oh okay. All right.
No.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Please, please do not give me a big boiling
chicken
stone bowl. In the middle of summer, because
yeah,
just looking at it makes me want to burst into flames.
Yeah.
And I am not from a culture that thinks if you're sweating a little, you need to make sure you're sweating a lot.
Yeah, Koreans are the original homeopaths, I think. The like cures like. Yeah. If you're hot, eat something that will make you even hotter.
And maybe take a hot shower while you're eating. Yeah.
And then you will somehow become cooler. I don't know.
Because you're getting all that stinking hot out.
Yeah. So Samgyetang is like a big bowl.
Yeah.
And just piping, boiling hot
literally
broth.
Boiling hot.
Yeah. Gingery broth. And into that, they just drop a whole chicken.
Yeah.
Like plucked. All right. Head removed, you know, gizzard all.
Gutted.
Yeah, gutted. But then they fill it with like rice. And then you eat that.
Yeah.
And they're manicure for it. It's like going to church on Good Friday or something. You know, it's people will line up.
You have to go eat Samgyetang on that one day.
Yeah, people will line up for like an hour, you know.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have pictures in the paper of it.
Yeah. Another one of those days, it's like if you're a space alien, you'd be like, this is just a day Koreans line up. You know, that's the point of the holiday.
Right.
You know, just to
people had to take the day off of work so they could go line up to eat chicken in a restaurant.
Yeah. So, so I think on those 3 days you're supposed to eat that. I don't really like it that much though.
I like it in the wintertime, but I like to get there's a frozen kind that you can buy, and it's dirt cheap considering you get like a chicken in it.
Have you seen black chickens?
I have.
Oh, is that? Now, where I come from, that's a bat. a plucked bat. Or a shaved bat, I guess. That freaks me out. I just noticed that yesterday. It was in the grocery store. I took some pictures. I think they even make Samgyetang from bat, black chicken. Come here, black chicken.
No, I like to buy it myself because, first of all, I grew up in America where they always had the warnings about cooking the stuffing in the turkey.
All right.
So I have like this distrust of food being stuffed inside of a chicken and cooked. And so I like to cook it myself.
All right.
And then I also like to put like twice as much rice in there.
Okay.
And make it, ricey
instead
of soupy.
And there's one I always like. It's called Dan-O. Like Bookum Dan-O, Murder 1. Dan-O. 05. So it's like the fifth month, fifth day in the lunar calendar. And I don't think it's really celebrated that much anymore, but the two traditions, one, there was women would wash their hair on that day, and in like lilac water or something.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the
annual washing of the hair.
Yeah. And then there were like the feats of strength. Like, one of the pillars
Festivus.
So their feats of strength where they do this wrestling or something like that. Yeah. They don't air their grievances or, or what was it, feats of strength, airing of the grievances, and they address the Festivus poll or something like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
I forget what the three tenets of So right. The Dano, but not a lot of people practice Dano anymore. If a lot of,
well, because most people wash their hair daily now.
That's true too. Yeah. New Year's. There's also New Year's is kind of split into the
well, solar January 1st New Year's is kind of a crap holiday here.
The what?
January 1st New Year's.
Okay.
Like, well, New Year's Eve rather. You know, okay. December 31st. It's like I feel like what they do is just sort of. What they garnered from, like, Western TV.
All right, okay.
Like, oh, other people stay up until midnight and have lots of drinks, so
okay.
We should do that. The real one, of course, is Solal.
Right,
which
Solal,
is
the lunar,
awesome.
Lunar
it's
going to
be
year.
3 days this year.
Yeah.
So it's the best. Oh, although that is coinciding with my school's week off, which kind of blows.
Oh, getting cheap on you there.
Well, we have 1 week of paid vacation, 1 week of unpaid, and
okay.
That's our unpaid. So ooh. We'll have... only 2 unpaid days instead of 5 unpaid days.
Then. Okay.
So that's all right. But the new teachers are kind of freaked out about that, and they're also freaked out that they're not getting a big Christmas holiday.
No. Oh,
and
okay.
So they've sort of arranged to get 3 extra days off
okay.
because their contract says 2 weeks of holiday plus national holidays.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas. We should point out that. Christmas, if it falls on a Sunday, you don't get the Monday off.
No, you get nothing.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of us work at night, so Christmas Eve is just another work day.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of companies in the West, you know, Christmas Eve, it's like, you know,
no,
they stop work
lunch.
About 2 p.m., that kind
yeah.
of thing, you know. But, yeah. And, yeah, so for the newbies, a lot of times you hear the newbies whine about, well, why don't get Christmas Eve off? I got to work Christmas Eve. And it's like,
well. Yeah, like, well, what are you going to be doing? Going over to your family's house and
yeah.
hanging up your stocking? Come
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
What does it really matter,
yeah.
for
Christmas,
one thing?
Yeah, Christmas is not a... It's not a traditional holiday here. It's
no.
It's so not traditional that really it's just young people get together on Christmas
yeah.
and they go drink and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. It's not people don't spend it with their families like we would in the
yeah.
West. So Christmas Eve is nearly meaningless, but yeah.
If not completely meaningless. And I feel like whatever they do for Christmas, like just about more than any other holiday, I feel like it's something that they've seen on TV or seen in movies and been
right.
like, oh,
right.
like
yeah.
marketing campaigns have cottoned on to the idea that it's another selling day.
Well, that's, I think, pretty much why they've introduced it, Christmas. Christmas is getting really
yeah.
big in, well, especially Japan, because it wants to drive consumer spending.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of nations who have no Christmas or Christian traditions, they look at this Christmas and they go, you mean retailers make, you know, half their annual profits
just on this one day? Why aren't we doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because when I first came to Korea, and granted, this was Chunju, it was more provincial, whatever.
Right.
Like, I don't think any of my students had Christmas trees. Like, we did Christmas stuff in class, but
right.
they were all like, wow, why would you do this, you know? And as far as they were concerned, it was just, you know, some weird, funny-looking guy to color.
Right.
You know, or to talk about or sing songs about. They had, like, no connection to it.
No. Yeah. So, yeah. So don't expect anything big on Christmas Eve or Christmas. New Year. Well, the New Year's, they do have a tradition here where in Jongno, they got that bell, Boshingak bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they ring that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
That's
a big
cool.
thing. Yeah.
Because it's like a really huge, deep bell.
Yeah. And I think the notables for that year all sort of get to ring the bell. It's like a big,
okay.
it's like a big, like,
I wonder if Wonder Girls will be there.
Oh, the Wonder Girls. Yeah. we'll talk about that in the news, I think, or
yeah.
something. Yeah. The Wonder Girls. Yeah. Oh, any other bizarre holidays? Easter's
non-existent.
Yeah.
Even if I explain to it, the kids, like, there is a Korean word for Easter.
Okay.
But even the kids that are Christian, they're like, huh? And then you just have to be like, Jesus, he died, and then he wasn't dead. And then they're like, oh, yeah, okay. That's not a holiday at all, though.
Yeah, no Good Friday.
No.
No,
nothing.
No, yeah, Easter. Let's see.
Maybe they just can't see the point of having a holiday that's always on a Sunday.
When's Labor Day?
In America?
Yeah, there's a Labor Day here, but I don't think we get
the
Labor Day.
Yeah, we don't get it off.
We don't get it off. Like, the Hagwons don't get it off. But some people
celebrate working by working.
Yeah, office workers get Labor Day. Yeah, there's a limited number of people that get the Labor Day. Can't quite figure that out. Yeah.
But in Korea, they have managed to stretch Valentine's Day, which is another commercial holiday.
Oh, right, yes.
Into not one, but three holidays.
At least three.
There's Valentine's Day, which is also Red Day.
Right.
Which is when girls give gifts to their boyfriends.
Yeah.
The next month on the 14th is White Day, when the boys then give gifts to the girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then the following month on the 14th is Black Day, when single people are supposed to go eat jjajangmyeon.
Right.
And
yes.
I think throw themselves out a window because they're single or something
like that.
Well,
car exhaust is black, right? So you could just run that hose into your bedroom and then just fill it full of car exhaust. Leave a nice black stain.
You know, there can be no joy in being single here,
exactly.
I guess.
Yeah, how dare you.
You're single. Just eat black. Wear black.
You're not even trying
sleep
to
under
have
the
grandchildren.
Bed, not on it. Yeah, right.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Jennifer, did you scare up any English t-shirts?
No, I really didn't. It was sort of an empty week.
Oh, man. I saw this bumper sticker, and
I thought it was a stamp.
No, it's actually a bumper sticker. And now, if you're a Westerner and not familiar with Korean politics, yeah, you would read it as, I love dog do.
Yes, because they've chosen an incorrect romanization.
Yeah. Yeah.
An unfortunate romanization.
Yeah. The supposed to be I love dokdo.
Yeah.
Dokdo. So the GK character, when it becomes at the start of a word, it takes a G, but when you use it at the end of a word, then it takes the K romanization.
Yeah. So
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so they went and they used the G, and then D-O, if you're unfamiliar with do being kind of what they tack on to the end of I don't think it technically means island. Like the Koreans have another word for island.
It does mean island when it is used as part of the name.
Okay. All right.
Like mount something means mountain.
Yeah, right.
But we wouldn't just say that's a mount.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. So we know it's dough, but yeah. But if you're kind of driving around in North America with that, people would just read it as like dude. I love dog do. So
then there's a picture of like a seabird and a mountain
and a big pile of poop. It looks like a big pile. Because
that's
all
true.
Black.
Yeah. If you didn't know it was supposed to be the tiny rocky island of Dokdo, you would just think, it's a big pile of crap with a bird flying over it.
And then it's some apple festival in Myeongdong, and it's apple season, the apple renaissance. And so they've got all kinds of like apple-related things. Yeah.
Who thinks up these names?
I don't know.
I want their job.
So they had this comedy trio. The picture, I only have two people.
Okay.
And then they're wearing these like workman uniforms.
Yeah.
And on the back it says, "Separate collection, comedy of best." Now I think they're supposed to be a comedy team, but their comedy was mostly just giving each other like dung chims.
Yeah, Korea is really big on physical comedy.
That's true. Yeah.
And bathroom humor.
Yeah. So they were just kind of like dancing around.
Dancing around, giving each other dung
chims. and then like pulling their fingers out of the guy's butt and then smelling it and being surprised that, ooh, my finger doesn't smell good. You know? I don't know. But
Which is gross enough when a 7-year-old does it, but when grown men are considering that something they should get paid for.
Yeah. I was just very, very, I couldn't figure it out. And then I bought some eggs. And these were clean eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus like those dirty eggs you normally get.
Oh, I wonder if it's supposed to be like hormone-free or something?
That could be. I was thinking maybe a mistranslation of fresh. They're trying to go for fresh.
Oh, that's
fresh,
also possible.
Clean. But yeah, hormone-free, that might be. That's a good interpretation. Some more great pizzas. We got the crab cream pizza.
The crab cream, which the Korean actually says crab fish roe pizza.
Oh, gay. Gay is crab.
Yeah, and sal is flesh.
Gay is also dog, but it uses the different E.
Different spelling, yeah.
Gay sal? Gay sal nal...
Nalchi.
Pija.
So nalchi is fish roe.
Ah, okay. Sal... What's sal?
Flesh.
Flesh?
So crab flesh, crab meat.
Wow.
It doesn't mean literally human flesh.
Flesh, yeah. Wow. Why not go with gay gogi?
No, they just don't.
No, that's cool. All right. Flesh. I like that. Sal. But the double S, sal, that would be like uncooked rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Or if the crab cream pizza doesn't sound appetizing, we got pineapple corn cream pizza. I guess if you're a vegetarian.
Which, again, the Korean only just says pineapple cream pizza. So I don't know if someone would be disappointed because there's no corn on it.
Oh, yeah.
But then again,
no,
who am I kidding?
Yeah.
Why would there be a pizza in Korea with no corn on it?
That's true. Maybe just a warning to Westerners. Yeah. I don't know. And this guy has a funny t-shirt. Kiss me, I'm Crooklyn. Maybe it's some rapper thing. I don't know.
Kiss me, I'm Crooklyn. Okay.
And then continuing in the well-being, Lopteria has something called the Healthy Lady Pack. And not only do you get like a little stuffed pig to remind you you're a healthy lady, but then it comes with two colas. I hope they're diet. And then a bulgogi burger. So, you know.
Nothing says healthy like a bulgogi burger.
Fried meat. And then.
With a thick syrup on it.
Yeah. And then a deep fried shrimp burger. Se-u burger. Yeah. Se-u. That's shrimp. Say. Yeah. You know how I remember se-u for shrimp? When you see shrimp, you say, ooh.
Ooh, shrimp.
Yeah. It's very easy to remember then. And then deep fried cheese sticks.
Yeah. Those all say healthy.
That won't go to your thighs. No.
No. Because there's no fries.
Right.
That's what makes it healthy. There's no fries.
The only thing that makes it healthy is that there's shrimp someplace underneath the mayo.
Yeah, it's actually like a kind of Thousand Island dressing-y kind of sauce.
Yeah.
And the shrimp, it's, you know, particle board?
Yeah.
It's kind of the food version. Yeah. I've had it before.
The Se-u burger?
Yeah, because when I lived in Chunju, I lived there before there was McDonald's.
Oh, right.
So sometimes in desperation, when I needed a healthy lady snack, I would go there. But their burgers are really disgusting, so I would get the shrimp burger. And it's actually like, you know, canned shrimp, the tiny little shrimp they put in cans?
Yeah.
It's like they took a whole can of that, shoved it together as tightly as they could. Breaded it, deep fried it.
I actually like the Se-u burger.
Do you?
When I go to Lotteria,
I don't like the sauce. It's
really?
Too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Se-u burger.
Maybe if they put like a teaspoon of the sauce instead of like a cup.
Yeah. Lotteria now, they're opening up these premium Lotterias. have you seen
Well,
this?
That wouldn't be hard. It'd just be anything that's better than what they've got now.
Oh, they've got fancy seats and like plush seats and all like muted lighting and like, you know, brass. And they opened up one across from City Hall Starbucks. And then they've also opened up one in
But is the food still the same crappy food?
Yeah, same food.
Have you seen the McDonald's at Coex?
Not lately.
It's nice.
Oh, right. Yes, they got couches or something. Yeah.
They've really, they've got upholstered chairs.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
With arms.
Yeah, the same kind of idea, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, anytime I see couches, I just think, young couples are going to use this. You know, they're too cheap for a DVD bong.
Yeah.
You know?
just go hang out at McDonald's for 6 hours.
I got Know Your Coffee Shop Konglish. Decaffeine.
Oh, decaffeinated.
Yeah, decaffeinated. Which, it's very rare to find decaffeinated.
It really
usually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like your Koreans don't exactly have a hard time with sleeping.
They're not really worried about being buzzed late at night. Yeah,
these are people. They're more concerned with staying up an extra hour.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Like that commercial where the woman, they play spin the bottle to see who gets to stay late, and so she's like downing the caffeine, nicotine beverages.
Is it that spin the soju bottle?
Okay. No, it's.
That was another one.
It's maybe Bacchus or one of the other competitors.
Okay. All right.
You know, one of those energy drinks that the energy comes straight from all the things that can kill you.
Because there's this one Jinro Soju commercial where it's like this one woman. I mean, clearly the, you know, the company go-to girl, you know, that when you're looking for a good time or something, you know. And I don't know, she's just, you know, getting up on the table and with her Jinro Soju and just leading the company on and drinking fervor or something. It's really, I don't know, it's pretty awful.
Maybe it's a campaign response against the woman who sued because her company made her go drinking with them.
I know.
So Jillo is like, we must nip this in the bud.
Right.
Make it trendy to be the one who's dancing on the table.
Exactly. I never thought about that, but that's very good. Wow. And then we have Unforzen sirloin.
Yeah.
Unforzen beef ribs.
This was something that Rosa explained to me, because the Korean says sangkalbi, which sang means fresh.
Sang.
So
okay.
I always thought that was really funny.
Yeah,
especially when you see it in a butcher shop.
Okay.
We've got fresh meat.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, good. Right. You know, ordinarily I would go to the butcher who's got, you know, the rotting, decayed crap.
Well, you know.
If you've got fresh meat, I'll go to you. Right. But she explained that it actually, in this case, means never frozen.
Okay.
So that's what the unfrozen sirloin means. It doesn't mean it's defrosted, it means it's never frozen.
We're sitting near the men's washroom. I just think I saw a woman come out of the men's washroom.
You did, indeed.
Yeah.
It was an emergency.
Okay, all right.
The women's room is upstairs. Yeah. It's a whole flight of stairs away.
Yeah. You know, a couple times here, like sometimes I wish I was a 5-year-old so I could go up to a person and go, are you a boy or a girl? I feel like you're sitting across from somebody on the subway. And not that I am, like, exude testosterone, you know.
Oh, you're obviously a man.
Yeah. But, something to like, okay, is that a girl or is that a boy? Like.
Yeah, especially when the men makeup came out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, short hair. All right. But you're kind of university age. You got some makeup on. That means nothing. You got a Coach bag. That means nothing. You know?
You're wearing patent leather sandals. That means nothing.
Yeah. Baggy sweatshirt, baggy jeans. I'm not seeing any secondary sex characteristics, but then, you know.
Whatever. Oh, one of my students gave me a little lesson yesterday. He's got the little elf burns, you know, my favorite look.
Oh, yes,
and,
right.
And all of a sudden he said, teacher, I'm a girl. And I was like, okay. You know, because whenever the students say, like, teacher, I'm boring or whatever, I'm
right.
like, yes, you are. You know, so he's like, I'm a girl, and I don't really like him that much. So I was like, okay. But then I realized what he was doing is he was tucking his little elf burns behind his ears.
Oh, okay.
And that made him a girl.
That makes him a girl. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So apparently if you've got hair in front of your ears, you're a boy. Hair behind the ears, you're a girl.
Okay.
So now you don't have to wonder on the subway anymore.
Okay, I'll look for that. Well, yeah, kids, especially at a certain age, have a very concrete idea of what is a boy, what is a girl, what is an adult, what is a child, what is a mummy, what is a daddy, you know, that kind of thing. And I remember one of my kids is like, you know, teacher, do you have a hand phone, cell phone? And I'm like, no.
Impossible.
Yeah, and the kid's looking at me, teacher, you're 41 years old. How can you not have a hand phone? You know, as if I'm like
a rite of passage into, you know, third grade.
But this look as if like I'm like, I still wear my Garanimals. You know? I sleep every night in a little Spider-Man one piece with the, you know, with the little
footies.
With the little footies and the trap back door poopy thing, you know. Yeah. I guess, yeah. I speaking about that strange English, I saw something that says let's be shopping.
Oh, let's be.
Let's be shopping.
They're trying to, you know, show their knowledge of urban lingo, you know, put a little Ebonics in there. Yeah. Let's be shopping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's be shopping. But, you know, because usually they would just say let's shopping,
Yeah.
Right. But then I think someone like the grammarian in the, at the magazine, they're like, no, we got to put the verb to be in there.
No. They're like, okay. Yeah. Let's to be shopping. Yeah. No, that doesn't look right. Let's be shopping. Yeah. Yes, good.
Because I think, you need the verb to be with your ingdangsa. You know, he is shopping.
Yeah, or you could say let's go shopping.
Yeah, let's go shopping, right?
But because you wouldn't say let's shopping.
Yeah, but clearly this guy thought, well, I mean, we need the verb to be in there, but so just threw a be in there.
Yeah.
In Koreanness.
In the news, this is like Wonder Girls.
Yes. Oh my God.
Like they're really in the news a lot lately.
Yeah.
Well, the Wonder Girls.
Yeah.
All right.
They've had a thing in the what I read about them was like all the people in their 30s and up that have like Ajumma fan clubs and stuff. Okay. Like actual middle-aged women forming fan clubs
for the Wonder Girls.
For the Wonder Girls.
Right. Now the Wonder Girls are it's like five. How many are there? Like four or five.
Five, I think.
Right. Five. Well, five. And they range in ages from about 15 to 18.
Yeah, they're high schoolers.
Yeah, none of them could drink in North America except Quebec. the top end.
Because they're French.
Yeah, 18 is the drinking age in Quebec. So they dance around in little mini skirts.
Yeah.
Right.
In like the world's lamest line dance. I think would be the best way to describe it.
But that has taken Korea by storm, the Wonder Girls line dance.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. People are like making the Korean version of YouTube.
How-to videos.
UCC.
In case you can't just watch the video and see how they do it in the video.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, like police officers, soldiers, you know, office workers. They're all doing the Wonder Girls little line dance.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Is the World Cup dance. Remember that even all the commercials, they had people doing that dance? That was kind of like based on a square. Where people would like move in the shape of a square and then they would like point their arms up.
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember
Was that 2002?
No, 2004.
Oh, even really? Jeez, I don't remember that.
No, 2006. That would have been the most recent World Cup.
Okay.
They don't have it every 2 years, whatever. No, but it was huge. They would all have people in their Be the Reds shirt, another great bit of English, and it was like you went in the shape of a square.
Okay.
And when you got to the sort of the points of the square, you would like point one arm, the leading arm straight, and then have the other arm bent up. It was a really horrible dance.
The only thing I ever remember from any World Cups is the that Korea song they all sing. It's just blaring all the time, Korea or something.
Pilsung Korea.
Okay, right. Yeah, just constantly. And if I recall, the World Cup was also happening around the time there was a presidential election, but a congressional election. I think World Cup ended, and then the congressional election came up, and so for maybe about two solid months it was just trucks with booming loud music speakers. For a month it's World Cup music, and the next month it's whatever the party music
vote for this guy and we'll give you a tea towel.
No, it was not a quiet little corner of the universe.
Months.
And you know, I mean, again, coming back to that, let's not be Scrooges, you know. When you look
let them have their joy over their game, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because when you look at sort of Koreans, you know, in their daily lives, sleeping on the subway, stone face, going to work, going home. You know what I mean? It's just all very gray. And suddenly there's like color and people are dancing and they're wearing little devil horns and, you know, and not wearing a lot of clothing. It's a chance
ripping up a shirt and wearing it as a skirt.
Exactly.
Whatever.
It's a kind of a chance for them to sort of really hang loose when they don't get a lot of chances to sort of hang loose. Except, I guess, at a wedding.
Yeah. That was the best. Did you post that on the website?
Not yet.
You have to. Yeah. That was the best wedding ever.
We've complained about Korean weddings before, how like everyone you go to seems to try to
out-tacky.
Yeah, out-tacky the previous one. And
there is a couple who's done it.
Yeah.
They have found a way to out-tacky them all.
There's this wonderful video. And I don't even think it was posted to mock the wedding. I think someone just posted it like...
Yeah, here's our wedding.
This is our wedding, yeah. So what is it starts off with a chariot. Like,
this is like a track-mounted chariot with a smoke machine behind them.
Of course.
So it literally looks like smoke is blowing out of their ass.
Yeah. And then to the... In the West, we get married to, like, you know, here comes the bride,
the wedding march.
Yeah, the wedding march. Who does that? The Nazi lover. Who did the wedding march?
I don't know.
Parsifal.
Wagner?
Wagner, yeah. Wagner, right, yeah. The Catholic rite usually does not include that piece of music, because Wagner was, not only was he anti-Jew, but he was also quite anti-Catholic, so he's not... The two great religions in the world don't really respect Wagner. So, but here the big wedding song is. I emailed you. What's the name of the song?
Oh,
it's from.
You emailed me and I had heard of it, but I don't remember what it was now. Sorry.
Hang on, I'll come to it.
Why don't we continue the story?
It's from a Disney movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was in a Disney movie. You know that really racist Disney movie?
Song of the South?
Yeah, Song of the South, right. I think it was in that Blue Moon.
Is it called Maybe. Blue Moon? I don't think it was Blue Moon, because I could remember that.
Huckleberry Hound?
No.
Something like that. My Huckleberry Hound. Anyway. I'll fight it.
Yeah.
But yeah, long and short of it, this for some reason this is just like everyone gets married to that song, and I have no idea why that bizarre little, you know, trad, anon, you know, southern hymnal or whatever kind of somehow became attached to Korean weddings. Maybe more American GI 50s influence or something. I don't know. I blame the South for so many strange things in Korea.
Thanks. We love you too. But this was the most awesome wedding ever. So it starts
right.
with the chariot ride.
The chariot.
With the smoke machine.
Yeah.
And people are sort of in a line alongside where the track is running.
Right.
And they hand them individual roses,
which
of course is Korea. So the roses are all wrapped in cellophane that they're handing them. And to the groom. So the groom ends up with this huge handful of roses.
The bride is always like kind of afterthought. You know?
Yeah.
Korean weddings are, it's the groom's day.
Groom's day.
Yeah. It is not the bride's day. The groom's day.
So then they have the ceremony, which is not shown because, who
Thank
cares?
Thank goodness, yeah.
Yeah. The next part where the video picks up is the bride and groom and the in-laws have just bowed to the congregation. And then the in-laws sit back down and the bride and groom are still there. And this is the point where in a Western wedding, they would march back down the aisle as husband and wife. Instead, three women in tight clothing and a boombox jump in and start
Do-a-me
dancing.
Those Do-a-me girls or whatever.
Yeah, the Do-a-me girls.
Yeah,
where
they're normally under a balloon arch dancing.
Yeah. Oh, they were wearing pants at least. They were not wearing their usual mini skirt.
Dignified,
right. And a tie. A tie event.
Sleeves cut off,
of course.
Right.
Dancing to Shebop, which I thought was the most awesome choice of music ever for a wedding.
Right.
So the officiant is still in the back, which they never did a close-up of his face, so I was quite upset about that.
He might be a religious man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they're dancing there with the usual dancing girl fervor, only it's
thrusting
on video, so all of them are really into it instead of taking turns.
Yeah.
And then when you think, wow, it really can't get any better than this, then the groom joins in.
Yeah.
And he's obviously been coached because he has like this half-hearted knowledge of what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And then when you think, wow, that really can't be topped, then he starts lip-syncing to the bride. And then when you think, how could they top this, the girls grab canned snow and start spraying canned snow.
My favorite part is just where they start doing that little Humpty dance.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of like gyrating their crotches around his ass. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the bride is just sort of standing back there,
Okay. It was really unfortunate the angle it was filmed from, because you can just see one set of in-laws and they're just sort of stoically taking it. But you get this tiny little glimpse of the other in-laws, and the father-in-law looks like he's about ready to start throwing things. His arms are like swinging wildly, and he's like, what the hell is this crap?
But the degradation does not stop there.
No. Then there's a third video of after this where a woman, apparently someone who knows them, I'm guessing,
right,
because she couldn't have been hired on talent.
No.
possibly the worst singer ever.
Right. Umchi.
Yeah, Umchi. And it takes one to know one, and I can vouch for the fact that she's definitely Umchi.
Yeah.
She starts singing, and the lyrics are basically, congratulations on your marriage, congratulations on your marriage, congratulations on your marriage. And, well, you get the idea.
Okay.
And she sort of alternates between belting it out, and let me just repeat that she is Umchi.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing this breathy, happy birthday, Mr. President thing, and as she's doing the Marilyn Monroe part, she's like kind of sliding her skirt up her hips and like swiveling her hips a little bit of booty dancing in the middle of the song there.
And she had a little bit of a booty, didn't she?
Yeah, did. And she was working it for all she had.
Yeah.
And, you know, may I just say, again, very appropriate for a wedding.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I was waiting for her to, like, go up and grind on the groom. I really was.
Yeah. But even the decor of almost any wedding hall, it's like...
Oh, it's just like the tackiest thing. Yeah. Well, the castle from the outside, that pretty much tells you the story.
Yeah, it's like a Cinderella castle, but then when you enter, it becomes like Greek columns.
Yeah.
Then with sort of Louis XIV furniture all splashed about, it's this complete mishmash of...
Yeah, whatever they thought was like the most over-the-top thing they could find for any element. So like the exterior, like their take on the Disney, castle.
Exactly.
And then the interior, well, Greek is really overdone, so we'll do Greek. And then furniture, maybe something Baroque, maybe some like gold paint detailing or, like something just really weird and ugly.
Yeah.
But there were no bubbles.
Oh, you saw? There wasn't a bubble show. Okay.
There was no bubbles, so I was disappointed.
No, there wasn't a laser.
Hmm?
No laser.
No lasers, yeah. No costume changes.
All right.
So they didn't do everything that they could have done, but really what they did was so spectacular. It really made me think. I have to say, I ended up watching the video like 5 times yesterday. That's how funny it is. And then it really made me think. I don't know that I ever really want to get married again, so it's just going to be off to my funeral. I've got to have lip syncing and canned snow at my funeral.
Well, I promise you, Jennifer, that if you expire while I'm still in Korea, I will make sure there are dancing girls. Did you want the dancing girls? Dancing girls, canned snow.
The bereaved must lip sync something.
Okay.
I haven't found like the most inappropriate song, because like She Bop, which those of you who may be younger than myself and may not be familiar with the song, it is celebrating the joys of female masturbation.
Oh, right, yes. City Lifer, yeah. How's it start? Something about Blue Boy magazine or something.
Yeah.
Like she's like reading a gay
Yeah, she's
porn,
reading like a beefcake magazine.
Yeah, or something, yeah.
Enjoying herself.
Yeah. It's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Versus the one where I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so. That I never knew, but that is also a 80s song about masturbation.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. I guess we masturbated a lot in the 80s or something. I mean, I was a teenager, so I have no evidence to argue against, but I don't know. So the news, I guess, is some guy got married in Korea. Yeah.
But actually, the wedding was like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
It's just only been recently discovered by the foreign community.
Yeah. So,
Worth the wait, definitely.
So, I don't know what... So, we've got 3 videos. Maybe we should have a vote on our website.
Yeah.
What is the...
Which element was the most over the top?
Well, what is the most bizarre video? the Shin first person video about, you know, threaten a woman in a parking garage to win her hand.
Yes.
The Wonder Girls, who are just sort of teenage girls jumping around in miniskirts.
Except you also they alternate between the line dance.
Yes.
And a complete and total ripoff of Wonder Woman. I think they actually just lifted the graphics straight off of the TV show and just superimposed their own character.
The best part is where they're in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now this is getting interesting. So they come bounding into the locker room to shower, right? Yeah. And then one of the girls opens the door, and then there's a Burberry man in the locker. And that Burberry man is like what they call a flasher here. And it's because he's got the trench coat. So he jumps out, and then he flashes the girls, right?
Yeah.
And then
not really a flasher. Like, he just opens it and starts running at them.
Okay. All right. So, but one of the girls is actually Wonder Woman. She can turn herself into Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because she always seems very sort of, you know, when they're about to run down the baby, she's very kind of tilting her glasses and going, I can handle this.
Yeah.
Right. And then she turns into Wonder Woman. So she turns into Wonder Woman and she just sort of beats up the Burberry man.
Yeah.
Right. But now in Korea, if there's a fight, the person that gets arrested is the winner of the fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that if you win the fight, you have to pay compensation blood money to the guy you beat, even if he started it.
So if a strong person just gets picked on by a weak guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Or attacked. No, not even picked on, attacked. Like some weak guy comes at you with, with a knife, and then you subdue him and injure him, you are at fault.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm thinking how this is gonna play in court, right?
Right.
Right. That that this poor salary man.
Yeah.
You know, he took a wrong turn.
Who just happened to be hiding in a locker, taking a nap.
He took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
Right. And then he suddenly realized he was in a locker room.
Yeah.
A girl's locker room. And then girls were coming in. So he did the only thing, responsible thing, which was hide in a locker.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and they just happened to open that locker.
That was bad luck.
Yes. And so in his horror, trying to get out of the locker, his Burberry trench coat flew open.
And it was just an unfortunate tragedy that he happened to be naked underneath.
Exactly. He was clearly making his way for the exit.
Yeah.
Right. And then these savages.
Yeah.
Who should have been studying.
Yeah.
Right. They attacked him. Yeah. So I think a court of law would see it that way. I don't think. Yeah. So I don't know what they're trying to teach.
Not
girls.
To mention that he's an older man and he it'd be his word against a bunch of teenage girls.
I know.
So obviously he would be telling the truth.
Yeah. So and the Wonder Girls, and then we got the wedding, the crazy wedding.
Crazy wedding.
So three bizarre little videos. Oh. Speak about traditional women's roles. They've announced who's going to be on the, I don't know about the 100 or the 100,000 won, but they announced who's going to be on the 50,000 won. They're releasing higher denomination currency.
About time.
Yeah. So on the 50,000 won, so it's like a $50 bill, the highest bill is currently the 10,000 man won, or a $10 bill. On the 50,000 won, it's been sort of open secret that, that they want a woman on one of the bills.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's all men. So now, there's not a lot of women in Korean history.
There's no Joan of Arc in Korean history.
Yeah. There's the Empress who was, murdered by the dreaded Japanese. And there's the independence fighter woman. And then they just pull this one out of nowhere. Well, I've not heard of. Who's now on
the
50.
But Koreans know who she is.
Okay. All right. She's, a good mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good daughter or something.
No, her daughter was a famous poet, I think.
No, her son was a famous poet. I think it was the son was a famous... She had a son who was a famous poet. Yeah.
Oh.
So she just raised a son to be good. And so she's going
on
the
50. Well, that does make her the perfect Korean woman.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of people are kind of upset that they're ugh.
Yeah, okay, it's a woman, but don't we have a better woman than that?
Susan B. Anthony, Sacagawea, somebody like that, right? Yeah, I don't know. But now, one of the things about releasing higher denomination bills is when you have very low denomination bills, that it makes bribery much more difficult.
Koreans have no problem with bribery.
They have no problem with bribery.
Figured out how to get around the small notes.
Yeah, but there was this article that the head of the tax services, this is like the head of the IRS,
yeah,
or head of Revenue Canada, all right? How many times is the do you hear the head of the IRS in trouble with the law?
Never.
That is the one position in government where you have to have the most responsibility,
right,
you know, respectability.
It's kind of like the Pope of American government.
Exactly, right. So, but oh no. So, right, so now the head of the Korean Tax Services has been indicted for, like, accepting bribes.
Yeah.
And not only was he accepting bribes, but he accepted $60,000 in bribes. Now, you think you're the head of a government agency, all right? You are well connected. You know, you've got to be earning major coin.
Yeah.
Lots of investments, whatever,
like,
right?
Like, $60,000 could not possibly even be a year's salary for him. There's no way.
This is chump change to that guy, right? And he's put his career at risk, his family in shame. You know, and the one thing he really has coming to him, you know, any respectable head of family would do, is he's going to have to jump from a bridge into the Han River.
Well, holding his family members in his arms against their will.
Sure, yeah. So I'm just like, oh God, because I remember a few weeks ago we were talking about biases and you know, about how comparing, you know, the worst Korean business practices to, you know, the best North American corporate governance. But I'm just like, I'm sorry, but this is just, this
right.
I can't defend this. Man, it was horrible. But then there's a lot of it's like, you look at one page of the business section, and it's like, foreign investment in Korea is falling. And then, you know, on the next page, it's like, some Korean politician is like, why are we paying profits to foreigners?
Right.
You know, like, singling out foreigners for earning profits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, there's your answer right there.
You right. Know? Yeah. Well, you know, in the past, foreigners, they had restrictions on lottery winnings.
On what?
A lottery winning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, again, you can buy the tickets.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, you want to cash a winning ticket?
Yeah. But it's all, it was like the latest one was like this politician. He wants to know, why are banks paying dividends to foreigners? They're foreign investors. When they could be donating money to Korean charities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, let's just, you know,
let's assume that's not the most racist thing I've heard today.
If a bank is paying dividends, it's probably paying dividends to all of its,
right,
you know, shareholders. You know, so I don't know why you're singling out foreigners.
Right.
You know, how dare foreigners invest money in Korea and then try to reap the rewards?
Yeah.
You know,
they're supposed to be just giving us the money.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, after the financial crisis in '97. You know, foreigners saved the banking industry, the banking sector, that there were no bank failures in Korea because a lot of foreign investments came in and saved the banks. And now that Korea is, you know, firing on all cylinders, people want to take their profits, right?
Yeah.
It's not a charitable donation, right?
Right.
So they want to take their profits. And the government keeps trying to make up rules, you know, and the big one was Lone Star. You still hear about that. They're trying to arrest people, you know, for making a profit. I don't know. So people are really sort of gun shy about investing in Korea these days.
Yeah, like, no doubt. Yeah. And then the papers are like having, you know, why aren't it more foreigners investing in Korea? Why are we seeing a drop in foreign investment? What's going on?
Like,
maybe it's a hostile environment,
but
foreigners are worried that they couldn't get their profits out.
But it's like, you know, we invest our labor, right?
Yeah.
And we are paid the profits of our hagwons, right?
Yeah.
Is a politician going to suddenly, like, why are all these foreign teachers taking money out of Korea? You know?
Yeah.
You know, if you were getting those signals, you would not come and invest your labor here, right? You would invest your labor someplace else.
Right.
So again, it's like foreign capital, right? You know, and it's like, and they have this idea like we're taking money out of Korea, right?
Yeah.
Now, as pretty as one is, no retailer in Canada will accept it. It has no value, right? So whatever money I take out is really coming right back to Korea. I give it to somebody who has Canadian dollars, And they say, you know what, I want Won because I want to buy shares in a Korean company. I want to buy a building. I want to invest in Korea. I want to buy Hyundai cars. I want to buy Korean MP3 players, right? Right. The money comes right back, right? You know, as long as you have something to sell to the world, the money will come right back to you, right? We do not take the money and then bury it, right? We get, somebody takes it right back to Korea, invests it in new corporations, buys things, they buy ships, right? So if people don't think they can, that Korean money they have, they don't think they can spend it on whatever they want, you know, buy 51% share in an office tower, or, you know, buy shares in a Korean bank and then get future profits, they're not going to want Korean money. Right. So if you go abroad with your Korean money, if Korea tries to go abroad with Korean money going, can you sell us your oil? You know, but we'll give you Korean money, but be warned, you can only buy computer chips and Hyundai cars. You're going to go, well, but I can buy Manhattan real estate with American money. So why would you sell Korea oil, right? You're going to sell oil to America. You're going to sell oil to China. So I don't know. So, but Korea's like, why? Yeah. I don't want people to invest in us.
No, right.
It's insane.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity. And we got to use opportunity lightly here.
Opportunity in air quotes.
This is like the week of like, I just, everywhere I turn, I don't understand something.
Well, you know, upon, like, each time I read this ad, I get more out of it that makes it a worse
there's
opportunity.
There's something even more bizarre. So it's a winter camp opportunity, all right? And now winter camps are not really necessarily the best of all possible working conditions, but
no, unless you are not sure if you want to come here for a year.
Exactly.
It's like a taster.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I do, if I can stick it for a month, then maybe I can stick it for a year.
Exactly. So now this, what I love, they got to hire 45 people, all right, and they prefer people with actual teaching degrees. All right. But they will take people with, you know, BAs, all right? But they definitely prefer people with teaching degrees, all right?
What, no PhDs?
Yeah.
They don't require, like, a double master's or anything?
No. But for your teaching degree, in 4 weeks, and they're only going to work you 48 hours a week.
47 to 48.
47, yeah, 47 to 48, right?
So, approximately. Yeah. It may go a little over.
So for your 48 hours a week, you're generously paid $1,100.
Canadian dollars.
Yeah. Hey, that's still worth something these days. But regardless, so 1,100. All right. And if that's not bad enough, right? Before you can even apply for the job, you have to pay the company, some Marco Polo Korea. You have to pay them like $100 fee to join their little Marco Polo club.
Join their slave labor club.
Oh. So, all right. So now you're looking at $1,000. Now, I don't know if this $1,000 is before taxes or after taxes. It may be after taxes because you're getting, it's called the C4 visa, which is taxed at a very, very high rate. So, all right. So then they're going to take $100 off the top, all right, and then you'll go to the embassy or consulate, and then you'll pay about $30, $35, $40 for the visa. So now you're looking at less than $1,000. You're out of pocket. Yeah.
So in addition to the 47 to 48 hours, you have staff meetings every morning.
Yeah.
Plus there are activities and events in the afternoons and weekends that are not teaching hours, apparently, plus orientation and training, which is unpaid. And then I think there was something I saw earlier about I can't find it now. But the only plus side I can see is that they do pay airfare, which most camps don't pay airfare.
Yeah, but the part, I like this part. what you have to do. Surrender the returning ticket at the airport for safety reason
and company policy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So,
you know, if it was for safety reasons, they might have chosen a different verb than surrender.
Surrender, yeah. So, safety reason, like why? Because maybe you'll lose the ticket. No. Yeah, clearly it's like you're a week in and you're like, this is insane slave driver conditions. I got a ticket. I'm out of here. So they basically...
I'll give up that $1,000.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised, too, if they're like, maybe you want to leave your passport with us for safekeeping.
Yeah.
Oh. And then it gets worse, too. Somebody was talking with this recruiter and for like a full-time job. And the recruiter was trying to work that sort of like the school will pay into a special bank account, which then we will pay you out of. Have you heard these kind of... Yeah, it's really shady kind of like...
There are so many shady ways for people to like pretend like they're going to pay you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not our fault you're not getting paid. We didn't receive the money from those other people.
Yeah.
We'll look into that for you. Oh, wait, you got to leave the country.
So this... I'm astounded that, like... And he wants to hire 45 people in the next, 2 months. This was posted on November 4th.
I will say, well, yeah, but you have to be a graduate. If it was college students...
All right.
In that case, I could almost see it.
Yeah. But if I was a lesser man, I would just email this guy, like, I think he's based out of Toronto. I'd be like, is there a major crack problem in Toronto these days? Like, how much crack are you smoking that you think you're going to, like, get 45 like, people?
45.
With teaching degrees.
Right, 45 actual certified teachers.
Yeah.
I would really literally say the only reason that anybody should do this, should even think about doing this, is if they're thinking about coming to Korea but not really sure that they want to or if they can handle it.
Well, find a winter camp, but find not this one.
Except that a lot of them don't pay airfare. This is the only one I've seen, I think, that it pays airfare.
It's just so many bad things about
this. Yeah, because most of them, they pay, like, maybe $3 million, somewhere between 2.5 and $3 million, but that doesn't include airfare. So in wintertime, high season, by the time you've paid airfare out.
I like how they actually post your flight information.
Yeah.
And so you arrive in Korea at 6 a.m.
Oh, you probably teach that day. No, sorry, I just say two days of orientation first. So.
Oh, yeah, January.
You'll have training starting at 9.
Well, you arrive January 4. What day is that? What day is actually January 4? January 4 is a Thursday.
Some of them arrive the 2nd. Well, I guess that'd be a Tuesday.
Yeah, cool. You get to Chicago like 8 p.m., and then your flight for Incheon leaves at 1 a.m. Oh, joy.
That's always nice. Yeah. So they found, like, the red eye, the absolute, cheapest flight.
And you get there at 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh, yeah, somebody will be waiting for you at 6 a.m.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. This is so many warning signs. Avoid. But they also want Australians, Canadians or Australians. No, Americans, I guess, need apply. I don't know. All right, that's our show. Jennifer Cortizo.
Yes, as usual, I don't know the specific day. It's the third Saturday.
November.
Okay. And the topic is going to be using rubrics for assessment.
Using?
Rubrics for assessment.
What is a rubric?
A rubric is like a list of points that the students have to meet to get a certain grade.
Okay.
Like, if you do this, this, and this, you'll get this grade. If you do this and this, you'll get this grade.
Okay.
So the students and the teacher are all on one page about what exactly the students have to do to get a specific grade.
Ah, okay.
So really sort of meant for people that actually give letter grades.
Okay.
But probably helpful, because any teacher can use rubrics to help the students understand what the teacher is expecting.
Okay. Rubrics. I was thinking Rube Goldberg. They're those crazy little machines. That's actually kind of fun, you know. Go online. Another little teacher thing you can do. Fun sort of game. Go online and find those Rube Goldbergs. There's a lot of pictures of the Rube Goldbergs, like the kind of the crazy machines that, you know, the ball rolls down and falls on a cat's tail, the cat jumps up and then jumps onto a scale, and the scale, the little candle goes up and then burns a rope, which releases a mallet, you know, which cracks your egg, you know. And so print out the Rube Goldbergs and then photocopy them and give them to the students and get the students to explain each step, and it kind of helps them, like, you know, their dungsas, their verbs, you know. So if you do a little speaking thing, a little speaking exercise, and it's a crazy little picture, and that kind of, like, they wake up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Rube Goldbergs. What's going on at my job? I'm getting more classes. It's filling up.
Really?
Yeah.
You're up to, like, what, 15, 16 hours now?
Teaching hours. 45-minute teaching hours, yeah. 21.
21 45-minute teaching classes?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How do you manage to fit that into a week?
It's stressful. No, actually, you know, they're warning me, like, you know, your schedule will fill up a bit more. I'm like, I don't mind working to be paid, you know.
Yeah.
Really, I don't expect to be paid to do nothing.
Right.
I don't mind it.
I have worked with teachers in the past, though, that if they ever do have, like, a little bit of a lighter schedule,
right,
as soon as it starts filling it back up, then they get mad.
Yeah.
Like, wait, no, it doesn't go the other way.
Yeah, you do quickly become used to it, like. But then you also then quickly become used to the other side as well. Yeah. I mean, it is nice to go, oh, man, I've been so chill.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll teach that. No problem. You got to be quite realizing you are there to work.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
You are a major expense, you know, and you should be doing actual work.
Right. When you're salaried, you are sort of expected to work the hours when called to.
But I'm 98% certain I'll have a job when I go back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my friend Martin owns a software company.
Oh, okay.
I notice he does this every late fall. I think he kind of knows when he thinks my work contract is up, and he always messages me. So, how you doing? Pretty good. So I just thought I would cut to the chase this time. I'm like, yeah, you know, February I'll be coming back and, you know, looking for a job. If you got anything, Martin, love to work with you again. Then he types in all caps, yes! Exclamation mark. So I'm like, good. All right. So yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. So
what kind of work did you do with him before?
You know, the documentation stuff. Press F1.
Okay.
Online help. Computer manuals. That sort of stuff. Yeah. I think I've complained about this before. It's like
so you're like eager to go back to a job that you've complained about.
Well, that's why I'm here, right? To sort of want to go back to that. You know, I was my boss Tim was like, oh, you sure you don't want to stay longer? He called me a good teacher. You had your doubts, Jennifer. But he's like, oh, you're a good teacher. I don't want to lose you. And I'm like, no, you know, I've been here 4 years. I really want to go back to, you know, I'm like, it's like, I want to go back to an office. I'm sort of explaining to him the office environment, you know, sort of work, clickety clickety. Oh, what the hell is this crap? I'm going to get up and get a coffee and just walk away. Come back. Hey, Lucas, how you doing?
Yeah, students get mad when you do that.
See Battlestar Galactica last night? Yeah. Got those concert tickets? You know, you just do that. You know, just chill out, you know, and then go back to work, and then chill out, go back to work. Versus, and then I'm like, you know, but I'm like, Tim, you know, here it's like, you know, you're giving kids work to do, and then you notice one kid has spent the last 10 minutes trying to put a pencil lead into his mechanical pencil. And, you know, and you're just like, what have you been doing for the last 10 minutes? You know,
yeah.
You know, and Tim's just like laughing. Like, he's like, oh, I never thought, like, as if this never occurred to him.
Right.
Like, this is, don't know. It's really bizarre. Yeah,
I find ways to amuse myself in class sometimes.
Yeah.
Like Friday being the Pepero Day observed. Yeah. One of the classes, they were like halfway through their boxes of Pepero when I came in for class to start. And I have a rule, no food in my classroom because, you know, I don't like having ground food all over the floor and crap all over the desk and trash on the floor, whatever. Anyway, not that my kids would be such little pigs or anything.
Of course not.
Well, so when I tell them to put them away, one of them takes that as a signal that he's supposed to, like, shove the rest of them in his mouth. And he literally takes, like, 8 or 9, like it was a fistful of Pepperos, and shoves them all in his mouth. I'm surprised he didn't injure the back of his throat.
Right.
Seriously. Just shoves them all in his mouth and just starts chewing. So, of course, I called on him to read first.
Right.
And this is like the equivalent of sticking like a half a dozen crackers in your mouth.
All right.
You know, and so I very slowly pick up my water bottle and take a long sip and just, that's some good water. And he was just like, teacher. Yes.
Tell my kids that I'm like, you know, like, why is your handphone out? Put your handphone away. Put it in your backpack. But that means put it under a piece of paper.
Right.
And I'm like,
that I can't see because there's 4 kids in the class
that
and I'm that
backpack.
Blind.
Right. Put it in your backpack.
Your hand is not your backpack.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember like a few months ago, I was kind of like, it was like, you know, your doctor has told you you have 3 months left to live, and you're like, I have to make every day special, you know, like that's how I was kind of feeling. But now I'm just kind of like, you know, I've reached the acceptance. You know? I'm like, yeah, I really don't mind going home now. I really don't mind. But of course, the Canadian exchange rate is just awful.
Really?
It's almost 1-to-1 now.
Oh, wow.
Or I think it is 1-to-1. Like, $1 Canadian equals 1,000 won.
Okay.
Yeah. America is dropping still.
Oh, yeah. It's reached, like, pre-IMF levels.
Oh,
It broke, like, 900 won last week.
Yeah. Like, I saw on AFN it's, like, 890 or something. Yeah. But that's, you know, it's always different when you actually go to the bank.
Yeah.
But yeah, but now I'm like looking at, you know, par, which is like, oh Jesus. And I've never said on, I don't think I've ever said on this podcast, but I've told all my friends, you know, if you're into currency speculation, all right, from the day I got here, I said, keep an eye out on the won. When I'm ready really to move home, either the won's going to completely tank, or, you know, or the Canadian dollar is going to shoot up to record highs. You know, something weird is going to happen to screw me. Because that happened with the American dollar when I was in Seattle, moved back to Canada. Went from about like $1.50 to like $1.30, $1.20. Now the Canadian dollar is like even more than American dollar. And I still have all those sorts of American money in my account.
A Canadian dollar is worth more than a U.S. dollar?
A Canadian dollar is worth more than a U.S. dollar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The end of civilization
is
near.
I know. Yeah. So then, all right. And then when I was working at my internet company, you know, it was like our market cap was once bigger than Amazon.com. And Amazon.com is one of the major players, right? Like you could literally take, I mean, if you exclude maybe Egypt and South Africa, you could pick at random any 4 African nations and add their GDP, and our company's market cap was higher than their GDP, all right? But if you asked anybody in our company, what do we do? Well, we, I don't know. No one could tell us what we did. But for some reason, this was worth $200 a share. So my, you know, my stock options were like, you know, over $1 million. But I couldn't sell them. But when it got around to like being able to sell them, because you got to work.
Oh, okay.
You just don't get hired and they go, you're a millionaire. Now you can quit. It'd be nice, but not the case.
So you get the stock options, but it's several months before you can cash them
in? A year, yeah.
Okay. Takes a year.
Yeah,
wow.
A year. You got to work there a year before you can cash like 25%. Then another year, another 25. Another year, another 25, right? So by the time I got to start cashing my stock options, you know, my million became like 20,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it became like negative 20,000. So all in all, I have the worst timing in the world.
All right.
Not my fault though.
There's a claim to fame.
Yeah, there's just some malevolent spirit out there.
Carl shall not be able to make a profit.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, yeah. But I remember a lot of people who had, like, you know, it was like a million, and when they could cash in their stock options, it was like 200,000. And they're like, well, I should hang on to it. It'll go back up. But it's like, well,
Why would you think that?
Yeah, exactly. What do we do? We don't do anything. We have a web address. You know? Even our president can't articulate. Have you ever worked on anything that has ever been released and sold? Well,
I've worked on stuff.
Yeah.
I show up every day.
I know. I, my job was to make coffee. That's what I did.
When there's, like, not even a company mission statement, that might be a sign.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing things like, you know, can you write jokes for the UK office's Christmas party? All right. That's productive. How? I don't know. This is why I like that show, The Office, because it's like, but they actually do work there and they do try to sell something. But a lot of it's just largely like, we call it screwing the pooch. You know, like, there's just nothing to do. Oh, man. I want to go back to that. I'm looking forward now.
See, whenever I worked in offices, I either worked in really busy offices, and so I always felt like incredible stress, even though I was getting paid like slave wages.
Okay.
I felt like really pressured and stressed to like get like 16 hours worth of work done in an 8-hour day.
Okay.
Or else I worked in an office where we had like 8 hours of work to do the whole week, but I still had to be there for 40 hours. And honestly, I hate that.
Really?
I hate them both. Like, I need like 8 hours of work for an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
Because when there's absolutely nothing to do, I just get angry that I have to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And
was that before
time
the internet?
Just stops.
Was that before the internet?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's all different now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now you can surf the internet all day.
You can run a business on the side.
I did have a big screen TV right in front of my desk.
All right.
And we got a bunch of magazines because that was where the lobby was, right in front of my desk.
All right.
And so I could read magazines and watch TV all day.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of the guys tried to get me hooked on his soaps, but
didn't really work. I definitely did other people's work at my company, you know, like my own little self-employment work, you know, while I was at my other job, which is fairly, it's not uncommon these days. I think people are doing jobs on the side at their initial place of employment.
That seems grounds for being fired.
Sure. But I mean, the internet has given almost any business cause to fire anybody these days. Because if you went through company weblogs, I'm sure every single employee has used the company time to look at some website that contravenes your employment policy or whatever. So, yeah. So, it's normal these days. It's a very different world, Jennifer.
I don't know. It seems kind of like if you had some editing work to do and you took it to class. And so you, like, gave the kids a bunch of worksheets so you could do editing during class.
Do I do that at my current job? No, but if I have marking to do, you know, and if I know the kids are doing the head-down work, then I'll do marking for another class. Like, do something like that.
But otherwise, it becomes homework.
Right, yeah.
That's just bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could do the marking during my extensive breaks.
That's your time.
Yeah, but my extensive breaks, I edit the podcast. So there you go. But this is a not for profit.
Yes.
We make no money unless we win the lottery. Yeah. All right. That's our show. See you next week, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, I guess Rosa won't be back for next week.
I don't know. Maybe next week or maybe the next. Maybe she's just slowly trying to sever ties or something.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here I go again.